to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show.
Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm interviewing John Reed. John is the founder and editor-in-chief of Publishing Talk, a blog and online community for authors and publishers. John also worked in the publishing industry for 10 years as an author and publisher, and now runs a social media consultancy business. He has recently written the Publishing Talk Guide to Twitter, which we're discussing today. So welcome, John.
Thanks, Joanna.
It's great to have you on the show. So maybe you could start by giving us a bit more insight into you and why you started Publishing Talk and how your interest in social media fits in with publishing.
Yeah, sure. Well, as you say, my background is in publishing. I worked as a publisher for 10 years, mostly in academic textbook publishing. And I've been doing this for the last 6 years, I guess. And I'd kind of always dabbled in digital a bit, even when I was a publisher. And I've done bits of web design work and things like that in the past. So when I set up my own business, I knew that I wanted to do something along those lines. And I actually took a postgrad diploma in digital media management at Birkbeck, University of London, when I was leaving publishing. And that was kind of my introduction to social media as well. And that was really the very early days of social media, although everyone was calling it Web 2.0 at the time. And I've just gradually specialised more and more into social media. So I'd kind of started off doing things like web design and development, which is kind of what the course was about, but there was also a lot of online marketing stuff on the course, which is now one of the courses that I teach on as well now. But really, I've just specialised more into social media until that's kind of all I do. I just do training and workshops and consultancy in social media. So when I started Publishing Talk, it was really just the business blog for my consultancy business. And because my main client group was publishers and still is, because that's my background, it was really just a way of kind of sharing information and tips about social media and digital with publishers. But it soon spun off into its own separate website. And I soon realized as well that a lot of my readers were actually authors and self-published authors and aspiring authors as well as publishers. So it's gone more in that direction as well. And I've now completely crossed over from being a publisher to being an author now. So as well as the self-published ebook, the Publishing Talk Guide to Twitter that I've just done, last year my first traditionally published book came out as well, Get Up to Speed with Online Marketing, which was published by Financial Times Prentice Hall. So I've really gone from publisher to author now.
This is a bit of a tangent, but I'd love to ask you about your experience as an author, you know, being on the other side of the industry and also being a mix between traditional and digitally published. Are you allowed to say anything critical, or, you know, how has that gone, and which did you prefer, I guess?
Which did I prefer out of traditionally published and self-published, or publisher and author? It was an interesting experience being on the other side of the publishing fence and sort of being on the other side of the table at publishing meetings, being an author. But I think having been a publisher, that helped, actually. It just helped that I knew the process and I knew how to write a book proposal and all those kinds of things that I'd been used to as a publisher. So the thing that was new to me is kind of what comes after the book is published, when the work really starts, when you're doing a lot of the marketing. And but since that is what the book is about and it's what I specialize in, it's it's something that I obviously use to, all the things that I talk about in the book, I use to market the book. So, and the same with the ebook as well. So,
Interesting. So there's also, I guess, there's a lot of criticism of traditional publishing from, you know, those on the other side about online media and all of those things. So what is the feeling in the publishing industry now? Are they very pro social media? You know, how is that going?
They're getting better at it, I think. When I first started doing this, there weren't many publishers doing much at all with social media. But I think now most of them have at least experimented with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and blogs and things. Or they at least know that they should be doing something with it. I mean, I think they're still behind where the music industry is, for example. But they're getting there. And some publishers are doing more than others with it. And they're still the largest group of businesses that I do training with, and I think that that's partly because of my background, but also because they're quite keen to learn how to use social media, which I think is something that works really well for publishing and for authors.
Mm. And so do publishers now want authors who can do this stuff? Is it a given now?
I think that's the key point. Actually, and it's something that I usually advise publishers to do, is to get your authors to do it. But with a few caveats to that, I mean, as an author myself, I don't think publishers should be just saying to their authors, okay, you go off and do all the marketing now. They need to find some way to support authors in their marketing efforts. But I think there are also good reasons why it makes sense for authors to do it, and it's better coming from them, because social media is still a personal medium where things like authenticity and tone of voice matter, and that's often better coming from an author who can also build their own network online. And it's something that I also advise aspiring authors to do as well, is to start. Don't wait till you've got a book out. I mean, I occasionally lecture creative writing students as well, and I always advise them to start blogging and tweeting long before they've got a book deal. Partly because it can help you get a book deal as well, and it is something that publishers often want to know, is how will you be marketing your book, and what online networks do you have? And it's becoming a standard question, not just on the author questionnaire that an author gets when you've submitted your manuscript, but on the proposal form as well, is how will you market this book online? And if it's all about building a platform online before you've even got a book out. And it's something that helped me get a book deal as well, because I had quite a lot of followers on Twitter and so on. There's a kind of ready-made market that you can promote your book to if you start early.
Mm, no, absolutely. Well, I'm so glad to hear stuff like this, since that's what I talk a lot about on my blog.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty then, because you've got the Publishing Talk Guide to Twitter. So give us some tips, how can authors in particular use Twitter to build their brand and sell their books?
I think the approach will vary a bit depending on what type of book you're writing. And I think the approach will often be a bit different for fiction and non-fiction and academic publishing, which is my background. But I think one of the most useful things that authors can do with Twitter is use it to promote their blog. It's a great blog marketing tool. It's a great way of driving traffic to a website. But also, if you're writing in a particular subject area, I often advise people to go for building a news feed on Twitter. So creating a feed of useful information and links and tips about a particular subject area. And some of those might be links to your own blog posts, but there might be retweets of other people's tweets. They might be links to other people's articles in an area that you think your followers are going to find useful. So it's partly about people getting to know you and the stuff you write about, the stuff you tweet about and what you blog about online, and then they're more likely to buy your book if they get to know you that way. So I think anyone can use it for brand building, whatever type of publishing you're doing. For fiction, you often need to be a little bit more creative about it. There have been experiments with tweeting entire novels, for example, on Twitter. Nick Ballard wrote a Twitter novel called Small Places, which is one of the examples in the ebook. And you know, just tweeting an entire novel, 140 characters at a time, which built media interest and also helped get him a book deal with a traditional publisher. Other people have experimented with tweeting in character as well, which is something you can do for fiction. I quite like Lord Likely, which is a character created by Andy Fanton, and there are stories on his blog about this. They're the sort of comedy adventures of a late Victorian detective, but the character has its own Twitter account as well. So you can do things like that and tweeting in character. But for actually promoting your book once it's out there, there are lots of ways you can sort of create buzz around your book as well. You can do things like Q&As and interviews on Twitter. You can do giveaways. You can either give away a chapter for free or in exchange for a tweet. There's a service called paywithatweet.com that enables you to do that. You can do things like offer discounts, because Twitter's part of the real-time web and it's all you can offer time-limited discount codes, things like that. Tweeting things like daily tips or extracts is a way of keeping your content coming, and works quite well with anything that you can extract tips or facts from. So again, that is more for non-fiction. For fiction, it's the equivalent would be that idea of tweeting an entire novel. So I think the important thing is to connect with the right people who are going to be interested in what you've got to say, and keep tweeting regularly on the whole.
No, absolutely. And I like that in the book you've got all these examples of people who've done various things in different ways. And you just gave me a couple of new things there as well that, you know, really interesting stuff. So what are the things that people get wrong? Because, you know, and I still get them every day. You know, I get the please pass this, or, you know, please retweet this from somebody I've never even met, which is probably my number one sort of pet hate. You know, don't do that to people. You know, so what do you think? What do people do wrong?
Yeah, I get a lot of those as well, and I generally find that a bit annoying. And I know some people do recommend that, and recommend sending lots of at messages to individuals saying, check out my blog post or my book. I kind of consider those spam, I have to say. But yeah, I think that is one thing that people get wrong is just the way in which they use it. And just if you're just tweeting sales links and nothing else, then, and especially if you're doing that to lots of different people as at messages or direct messages, that comes across as spam, really. And I think not being engaging on Twitter is one thing that people get wrong, and that's one way in which they do that. I think you need to provide useful information to people, or useful, entertaining, interesting tweets. It's the quality of your tweets that will encourage people to follow you, really. And you know, replying to people, retweeting, you don't have to do that all the time, but doing at least some replies and retweets, as well as tweeting your own stuff. And I think as well as tweeting your own blog posts, it helps to tweet other people's blog posts for articles and blog posts that you think are going to be interesting to your readership. I think another thing that people often get wrong is simply not tweeting often enough. I've met people who have said, "Oh, we tried Twitter and it didn't work for us," and they've given it about a week. I mean, it takes patience with some of this stuff as well, and quite regular tweeting. I mean, at least once a day, but ideally several times a day. Mm. I think you should be tweeting, and at different times of day as well, so that you stand more chance of getting in people's line of sight, really, rather than just clumping a few together at the same time of day. And that also helps you reach people in different time zones as well. So I think tweet regularly, and you need to have a little bit of patience. I mean, it took me years to get quite a large following. And then I think another thing that that's quite a simple thing, really, is not making the most of your biography on Twitter. I see that a lot. People who don't include a biography or don't really tell as much about who they are and what they do in their biography on their Twitter account. And I think that is actually quite important, especially because you can now include links within your biography, which you didn't used to be able to on Twitter. So you can include links to your book, so those short Amazon links, for example, in your biography, and you can include links to other Twitter accounts, so other at username links in your biography. So I think while you don't want to be doing constant links to your product page on Amazon on your Twitter account, you do want it in your biography, and you want your main blog or website in the web address field that's just under your biography. And I think that if you include other Twitter accounts there as well, that can help get around the idea that you have to be constantly tweeting personal information on Twitter, which some people think you have to do. You don't. I think you can go for this newsfeed approach and just tweeting useful links and information. But if you link to your personal Twitter account, for example, from there, so whether you've got a topic-based account or a book account, you can link back to your personal account, or you could just use your personal account as the main one that you use. But you don't have to. So for example, on my Publish and Talk account, I wouldn't tweet about what I'm watching on TV, for example, because it's of no interest to any of those followers. But if people are interested in what I'm doing, they can click through to my personal account. So I think those are some of the things that I would recommend.
No, that's great. And you talked there a bit about having a bit of a following, and you've got, 150,000 followers or something?
It's about that now, yeah.
On Publishing Talk. And that, which is quite a following. And what was interesting to me is that your number of tweets is not that big compared to your number of followers. So, first of all, do numbers matter? And do you have any tips for increasing followers without becoming a spammer?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the numbers matter a bit, because you are, in a way, building up a mailing list of people who you can reach with a single tweet. But you don't just want anyone following you. I think that's the point there, really, and the quality of your followers is more important than the number of them, and your number is going to vary quite a lot depending on how broad or narrow your niche is. So there are ways that you can increase your followers, but you probably only want to do that in the kind of early days of your Twitter account. I mean, I haven't actively try to get more followers for years now, really, just because once you reach a certain number, your success kind of builds on itself, and you just become more visible on Twitter because there are more people who are retweeting you to their followers, and if they like your tweets, then they'll follow you as well. So I do tend to automatically follow back people who follow me. It's the only account that I do that on, but I don't actively seek out new followers now. But the way to do that when you're starting out on Twitter is simply to follow more people. I mean, it does kind of boil down to that, because probably about half of the people who you follow will follow you back. So initially, that's the way to build up your following. But I'll come back to this point again, that you don't just want anyone following you, because you don't want tens of thousands of random people following you who are not interested in what you're saying and are never going to buy your book or whatever. So if you stick to people who are just within your area of interest, people who you think are going to be interested in what you've got to say, those are the ones to follow. And you can find them in various ways. You can just do searches on Twitter by keywords that are relevant to you and your book. You can use search hashtags to find people who are either attending a specific conference or who are chatting about a particular topic area, and follow them. One thing that I've sometimes done as well is, if you find someone who is tweeting similar stuff to you, so who is in a way your competition on Twitter, or you know, someone who's writing similar books to you, maybe, if you follow their followers, that can be another quick way of finding people who are, if they're following that other person, then they're likely to be interested in what you're saying as well. So I think following more people, but you do need to stay within certain limits on Twitter as well. Anyone can follow 2,000 people, but after that, you can only follow 10% more people than follow you back. So if you have 5,000 followers, you can follow 5,500 people, but no more until you've got more followers, which is a way of Twitter trying to cut back on spam, people just building up massive followings of random people. So at some stage you might want to start unfollowing some people who don't follow you back, and so on. But this is all stuff that you might do in the early stages, and there's actually no real substitute for the quality of your tweets either. And if you're tweeting useful, interesting, entertaining information, that's really what's going to get people to follow you. Tweeting regularly and tweeting interesting, useful information is what's going to keep you going long term, I think. But the number of followers on Publishing Talk has surprised me, and it is particularly over the last year that's taken off for me. I got quite excited at last year's London Book Fair in April when I had 40,000 followers, but a year later it was three times that, and it's now 150. So it's, you know, which is another argument for kind of sticking with it, having a bit of patience with Twitter. But also, I suspect that's partly because of a small change that Twitter made to its search function as well. So when you search by a keyword, Twitter will also suggest people for you to follow as well. So if anyone searches for the word publishing on Twitter, then Publishing Talk is an account that will often pop up as a suggested person to follow. So that's really an argument for choosing your Twitter username carefully, particularly for topic-based accounts, really.
That's a good one. That is a good one. It's too late for me. But I think you've got some really amazing tips, and the book is full of different tools. I did have a question. Maybe I missed it in your book. I'm just going to ask you, I would really like a tool that gives me almost like a Google Maps of physical locations of where people are. So like I've just moved to London, and I'd really like to know who in my Twitter following is in London, South East England. Do you know of a tool like that?
I don't, unfortunately. And I would love to know about one of those as well. So if anyone does know one of those tools, do let us know. There used to be one. There used to be a tool called Twitter Analyzer that would do that for you. And among the things it did, it would give you a geographic map of where your followers were, which was really quite useful. And that's one of the ways that I found out that more than half of my followers were in America, which is useful information to know. I mean, it's because that's going to affect not only, you know, perhaps what you tweet and write about, but when you tweet as well, crucially. So for me, I mean, if more than half of my followers are in America, there's not much point in me tweeting before lunchtime in the UK because they haven't woken up yet. So that would be a really useful tool. I mean, there is, I think on the Twitter iPhone app, one of the options on that is you can see people local to where you are tweeting, but that doesn't really help you with your own followers and telling you where they are. But I've not found a tool that, you know, since then that will do that, unfortunately.
Right, listeners, you know, I would really like one integrated with the Google Maps API, and I would pay for it. I really think that that is a tool people would pay for. So if I was one of those programmers, I'd whip one up. But I have a question as well about Google Plus. I know your book isn't about Google Plus, it's about Twitter. But, you know, with Google Plus arriving and having quite a lot of similar things to Google Plus, to Twitter and to Facebook, will these new social networks inevitably that will come, will they kill Twitter? You know, will we jump on the next bandwagon? You know, people like us who've spent the time investing in Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I have my doubts, to be honest. I mean, it's, I confess I haven't done very much with Google Plus yet, so I probably will. But whenever Google announced their latest social networking product, I'm often a little bit sceptical, just because they're so often launched to a massive fanfare, and it's going to be the thing that kills Twitter or Facebook, and then it quietly disappears within a few months. I think this one might be different, though. And it kind of builds on Google Profiles and Google Buzz and things like that. And just from some of the people who are using it, and there's quite a few of my Facebook and Twitter friends who are using Google Plus, and it's getting a lot of users. I think within the first 4 weeks, it got something like 25 million users. It's certainly one to watch. In a way, it feels a little bit like just another place to share links and information, and you know, can we be bothered sort of learning a new one and sharing links on yet another social network? But it's I don't think it's an immediate threat to Twitter. I think that all of these social networks do something slightly different. And the number of users on Facebook and Twitter are just so vast, they're not going away anytime soon. It's over 200 million on Twitter, 700 million on Facebook. So I wouldn't be too worried about, you know, investing time in Twitter or Facebook because they might disappear, because they're not going to disappear anytime soon. I think with Google Plus, it's going to be useful for people to have a profile on there, if only because it will come up quite high in the Google search results. If people are looking for you by your name and you're on Google Plus, I think that's going to help with your search engine results. And I think it's one of those things where you should probably kind of register your name quite quickly before it goes. So even if you're not planning to use Google Plus immediately. And the same with Twitter, actually. Even if you're not planning to use Twitter right now, you might want to register just to get your name. It's a little bit like registering a web address now. It's that important. So, you know, get your name while you can. And there's a site, I think it's gplus.to, where you can register a kind of short username, a short URL for your Google Plus account. So I think those are the things that I would recommend. I don't think it's going to kill off Twitter anytime soon, though.
No, I would agree. And but yes, on the Google search thing, I noticed my name now, it used to be my website, now it's my Google Plus ID is number one on Google ranking. So
right.
As you say, definitely go and do that, people, even if you don't want to use it.
Absolutely. It has that search engine benefit, you know, regardless of whether you're going to be actively using it.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're out of time. So where can people find you and your Twitter guide online?
Right, well, you can find me on the Publishing Talk website, which is publishingtalk.eu. And you can find the guides at publishingtalk.eu/guides. And that will link to the Twitter guide and also the future Publishing Talk guides that come out as well.
And where can we find you on Twitter?
Well, you can find me at Publishing Talk for the Publishing Talk account, and at John Reed, JONRWD, for my personal account as well.
Brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, John. That was great.
Thank you, Joanna.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!